May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, during this final week before Advent, we mark the eternal reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our last psalm in our series is Psalm 95, the famous Venite that often opens morning prayer. Psalm 95 in that context is called an invitatory, inviting and welcoming us to come and praise God and have a proper perspective during the course of our prayers. An eternal perspective, or maybe better stated, a perspective that prepares us for eternity. So what does an eternal perspective look like? Well, the psalmist encourages us to come before God with abundant glee. We are to sing to him. We are implored even to offer shouts of joy, the kind of raucousness that most of us Episcopalians worry about outside of a football game or a rock concert. And, of course, appropriately, just after Thanksgiving, we are to approach God with a spirit of gratitude. Inspiring music, holy mayhem, and genuine thanks. Those should be the actions and attitudes that we're about each time we enter God's presence, especially as we gather together as his people. Then, in our joyfulness, we remember the greatness of our God. He is the creator of the whole earth. He alone stands above any so-called God that we idolize. Back then, it might have been Baal or Molech or Asherah. Today, it's usually money, sex, power, or attention. But any person or idea or focus that outstrips our Lord's rightful place in the center of our lives can become an idol. And while we remember that God isn't some insecure narcissist that needs such attention, he knows that the moment that we displace him from that top focus and attention, everything else in our lives will fall apart. So joy isn't enough on its own to nurture an eternal perspective. We need to have exclusive devotion to our triune God. Now, when we remember just who God is and all of his greatness, remembering who we are in comparison is the natural result. Bowing down, kneeling, these actions that the psalmist advocates indicate humility. Likewise, looking to God for our rescue, our provision, our protection as sheep do with their shepherd is also part and parcel of this life. We need God for everything. We cannot start this life without a heavenly Father. We cannot discover eternal life without a good shepherd like Jesus. And we'll struggle mightily in this time between his first and second coming if we refuse to rely on the indwelling power of the Spirit, choosing instead to favor our own ideas and abilities. So we need to be humble in our assessment of ourselves and look to the Lord to shepherd us. Now, in addition to joy and remembering who God is and remembering who we are in comparison, we also need to look and see who we are with. A few weeks ago, we celebrated All Saints' Day. And they often serve as superheroes that we look up to, people that we hope to emulate. But there are also some bad examples that we need to avoid. And that's where the psalmist picks up on that particular tack. He reminds us how the children of Israel, despite all that the Lord did to deliver them from Egyptian slavery, to provide for them in the desert, and to guide them into the promised land, they still complained, still distrusted God, and even wound up worshiping a false god, the golden calf. Now, we aren't much different from the people of God throughout the ages. A mix of saints and sinners, that's who we are. In our own day, we can fondly recall people whose faithfulness that we wish that we could live up to. And we also ruefully consider those whose bad attitudes and atrocious actions make us wish that they didn't call themselves Christian. But the job of sorting sheep and goats isn't ours to do. Hopefully you noticed that in our gospel reading today. What we can do is rely on God's grace, trusting His promises, tapping into His limitless strength, seeking His forgiveness whenever we inevitably fail, and striving to follow Jesus each step of the way through life. And part of that process is embracing whoever we are on the journey with, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We don't judge them, even though we might observe the virtues that we admire and the vices that we wish to avoid in them. In the meantime, we love them the way that Christ already does. An eternal perspective is not so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. As we see in Psalm 95, it's a very practical point of view. It starts from a place of genuinely loving and enjoying God. It refocuses the whirlwind of everyday worries onto a stable, eternal, and omnipotent Creator of all. It helps us see ourselves rightly as we humbly embrace divine intervention as the shepherd of our souls comes to help us. And an eternal perspective empowers us to appreciate all of God's people, whether they are good examples to follow or bad examples to avoid. Besides, the vast majority of us are really a mix of both as we grow daily more and more into the image of Christ by faith. Today, take a moment to see what kind of perspective you have. Is your love for the Lord so fervent that you might even be willing to sing while shopping for things for Christmas at Walmart, or whooping in church on occasion, or saying thank you even when things seem to be going wrong? Have you let something earthly come too close to God's rightful place in the center of your heart? Have you taken time to humble yourself and accept the help that you need from Jesus in every area of your life? Have you taken it upon yourself to judge when you should simply love? Or have you blinded yourself both to the good ideas and warning signs you see in other Christians' lives that could help you live with more faith, more hope, more love, more peace, more joy? Don't worry if you find yourself less than perfect answering any one of these questions. The amazing thing about grace is just that. It's grace. We are all works in progress, and we all need to make course corrections in this life. Just remember that an eternal perspective is eminently joyful, Christ-exalting, humbly reliant on God, and accepting of others for whatever they have to offer. Simply ask for grace wherever you fall short, knowing in your heart of hearts that God has done everything possible to keep the orientation of your life's spiritual focus on true north. You'll get to the promised land if you keep following Jesus. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.